Welcome to the X Factor Files podcast. I'm Daryl.
I'm Philip. And what are we investigating today?
Star Trek Voyager. We're back after like a month for some more Star Trek coverage.
Yeah, it had been a minute. Things were busy and we had Uncanny, which was fantastic. Listen to the previous episode for a recap about that.
Yeah, and we saw Fantastic Four yesterday. So our thoughts on Superman are in last week's episode.
Also good.
Yes. Fantastic Four is definitely more sci-fi, which was fun.
Yes.
I knew that you would like the ships when I saw them show the ships.
They're so cool with the different thrusters and the, like, the shape of it. It's sort of all spindly.
Yeah.
And the rockets, the three rockets motif was good.
Mm-hmm.
The way that they had a faster-than-light engine just hanging out in space that they could hop onto.
Yes.
Super cool.
It reminded me of the Star Wars prequels.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And it had that very, like, going into subspace look, where people are like, maybe Star Trek was onto something and sort of, like, enter this other realm and pop out where you need to.
Yeah.
That was super cool. What did you think of it?
I thought it was good. I think out of the two, Superman, to me, had more heart and more emotional pull.
Interesting.
Fantastic Four was fun. It was unexpectedly shorter than I thought it would be, which I'm not complaining. They packed tons of story into it.
It felt complete.
Yes. But with a Marvel movie, I don't know, maybe since Endgame, where you just buckle up and you just sort of think it's going to be 2.5 to 3.5 hours for this movie. And the main feature was done in less than 2 hours for Fantastic Four.
Yeah, I mean, we have our gripes about movies nowadays with the half hour or more of ads and previews.
Yeah.
So when it's like, get your tickets for 11:10, it has a little asterisk that says, but really, the movie won't actually start until 11:40.
Like 25 to 30 minutes of previews, which it was pretty right on the money. It was like 32 minutes, if they even started it right at 11:10, which we don't know because we didn't show up.
It's true.
We were like, we're going to take our time, and we still got, like, 15 minutes of previews.
Yeah, more than was necessary. And I felt bad for the people next to us who were directed to the wrong theater.
Yeah.
So they came in, like, in the last 25 minutes.
No, last hour.
Oh, okay.
They showed up, like, 12:30-ish.
Oh.
So they showed up, and I was like, oh, bold move. Like, these people rolling in with their blankets and everything. And, like, one of them took... We moved our seats because it was a mostly empty theater.
And we wanted recliners that worked.
Yeah. So we went to the next seats over, and one of them sat in our previous seat. And I'm like, that bold move. Like, okay. But then at the end of the movie, the woman turned to me, and she's like, what time did this movie start? And I was like, 11:10. She's like, we were supposed to go the 12:25. They told us the wrong theater.
Yeah.
And she's like, I was wondering why there was so much action.
Yeah, right from the get-go.
Yeah. So I really hope that they got a refund and could go to the correct theater.
Yeah.
Or the next showing. Because by that time, their own movie was an hour in. So they would have seen the exact same shit.
It's true. So you said it had Superman had more heart, but I definitely got the feeling this was more a sense of the first family and like that family vibe that they had going.
Mm-hmm.
So it's smart that they hopped it 4 years past when they got their powers and everything. So they were already pretty established.
Yes.
And there were some fun shots of them defeating some classic campy early villains.
Yep.
Which I didn't really recognize, but I'm sure Chad saw.
Yes.
I'm very sad that there wasn't like a porcupine or an armadillo. Like, now that I've listened to Grey Malkin Lane, I get the appeal of those campy characters from the 60s.
Yes.
But the relationship between Ben and Johnny, I really liked. That it was much more gentle ribbing, and like they were both in on the joke, and it wasn't anything to be mean.
Yeah.
It wasn't aggressive like it was in the Chris Evans, Ian Griffiths, Jessica Alba ones.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny was much more palatable in this form. And also...
And he was smarter.
He
figured out the language stuff, which makes more sense when you read the comics where he's, like, a really good mechanic. Like...
Yeah, he has to have, like, different areas of intelligence. Otherwise, why would he have gone into space in the first time? Unless it was just, like, a Nepo baby situation.
Yeah.
So that was really great. the Sue Reed dynamic was good. The way that they just sort of knew each other, even from the beginning, where Sue was like, "Give me 2 minutes, I will find the iodine faster than you rifling through every drawer."
Yes.
With the weird beeping pregnancy test.
The pregnancy test from Stark Industries.
And Reed just grasped both ends, so I don't know if there's like a cover, you pee on it
No.
and then you
Oh.
put it into a case. It's like, dude.
Things we don't know as gay men, how
Yeah.
an over-the-counter pregnancy test works.
Yeah. And the discussion they had later, where Sue was like, "You even talking about this possibility of giving up our kid hurts me, but also I know that you're thinking about it because I know you," could have gone more for me, because thanks to our friends at the Avenging Hour with your Rule of Three episode about Reed Richards, the immense guilt that he felt
Yeah.
over not anticipating cosmic rays. Like, there was a seed of that planted. It didn't quite come to full fruition, but in that context, that discussion between Reed and Sue makes so much more sense. Of like, no, I have to think about all these things because we were so harmed by the time that I didn't think about all these things. So, that aspect, like, could have been a little bit more prevalent, but it was still, like, a good discussion.
Yeah.
And we both really liked Sue.
Yes. I mean, obviously we're going to do spoilers. We've already done them, so like skip ahead a few minutes if you don't want to know details, but
It's true.
when she dies in the movie, like that is the one emotional choke point where I'm like, are they really killing Sue Storm in her first appearance when she's been such a badass and
Yeah.
like she's the only woman? I was
And that
like,
trope of like the mother sacrificing herself for her child, you
yes.
said?
Yeah. So I'm glad that Franklin brought her back to life.
Yeah, with the power cosmic.
Yes.
And Sue had such a good role throughout, which is different than the comics. Like, from what I've heard from everyone, like, she wasn't Invisible Woman, she was Invisible Girl at
In
first.
until the 80s, like
Yeah.
more than 20 years, she existed as Invisible Girl, even when she gave birth.
And even with the, like, she fit into those tropes that Scarlet Witch, Jean Grey fit into of, like, powerful but slightly unstable, fainting a lot, like,
Yeah.
that seemed to be the vibe. But here she was the first one to answer a question in one of the press conferences, and
She's the one who negotiated with Mole Man.
yeah, and like kicked the guys out of the room because she knew where that was
Yeah.
going, and Mole Man seemed to have a better relationship with her. And she was the one that got the Future Foundation going, which is sort of like
The
the
UN.
UN,
Yeah.
which fit with the whole theme, like the very 60s futuristic aesthetic, which permeated throughout, like the big record discs that they recorded the space sounds on. It was super cool. And just the fact that in that era, like, the UN was such a thing. You had Eleanor Roosevelt going out. You had Minnesotan Harold Stassen helping write the UN Charter. So the fact that they took it and made it more, and it was Sue that was sort of the emissary that got everyone together to talk about it, was pretty amazing. And who rallied everyone in that group when they're trying to build the bridges across the globe. Like,
Yeah. They packed a lot of story into less than 2 hours.
yeah.
And this is the only Marvel movie this year.
Yeah.
The next one is Spider-Man next May, I think.
And isn't it like the trailer is 2 seconds of like an outfit?
Maybe. Yes.
That's all I've seen from social media,
Yeah.
so.
And then Doomsday is next July, I think.
It's that long and they're already building it up? There was a, in the cutscene at the end of the movie, there's Doom and Franklin.
Yes. But that long, I mean, that's next summer.
Oh.
They were building up Thanos for years.
But I feel like more consistently, like, you
Oh.
had a pace to it. And if
Yeah.
this is the only one this year.
Yeah. I thought, well, they were originally going to go with Kang for
Oh.
everything, and then that dude
Yeah.
was problematic, so they switched to Doom. So, like, they've been developing it, it's interesting that they're bringing about Doom so quickly after Fantastic Four. Like,
Oh.
it'd be nice to see it built up more, like more like what's Latveria doing?
They
But I guess
weren't in, they
this,
weren't in the Future Foundation.
and I guess this is an alternate Earth, so we're going to see how the Fantastic Four is brought to the 616.
Yeah. You said something earlier when right after the movie when we were talking that you liked how their brains were their biggest weapons and not their cosmic powers.
Yeah, especially Reed.
Yeah.
Yet, like, he's stretched a little, and he's pulled like taffy by Galactus. But it was more focused on him trying to use his intellect, which he already had. Like, that the cosmic rays did not give him brain
Right.
power.
Or Sue, or Johnny,
Yeah,
or Ben.
they were problem solvers, I guess.
And like brought all their discussions to the group so that they could collectively work on it and problem solve. I thought that was super cool. Like that doesn't happen very often in superhero movies, especially.
And I'll have to look into the character that was Ben's sort of love interest. I have said that it wasn't Alicia Masters.
Oh, yeah.
They did mention Alicia's dad, the Puppet Master, in
Oh, she's
passing.
related to him?
Oh yeah.
Oh.
Oh yeah. It's a thing.
Interesting.
So I was a little upset because I think that Alicia is a great character, and also she's blind. Like, it's just more representation for an
Oh.
underrepresented group where she kicks ass, especially in the current Ryan North run. If people haven't read it, they should. I told you that you need to
It's
start reading it on Marvel Unlimited
true.
because it's Ryan North,
Who we stan.
and it's really fun. So they just rebooted it, or they will reboot it. They have, with Number One. I read that a few weeks ago.
Oh, okay.
Again, like, I am emerging from the uncanny haze. 2 weeks afterwards? 3 weeks afterwards?
In one
Three.
of your titles, you said you had nine back issues to read, or nine issues that need to catch up on.
JSA,
Yeah.
yeah. So, between writing the book and then promoting it and then Uncanny, I'm so behind on some stuff still. I need to read the Marvel or the Fantastic Four fanfare that they've
Oh.
been putting out. I think there are three issues of that waiting.
Interesting.
So, but yeah, the Ryan North, the previous run, which ran for 33 issues, the current run, which they just started with Number One, even though it's sort of the same shit, different numbering.
Yeah. See any of our previous episodes about how we feel about the constant number ones?
So he's still writing it though. It's the same art team. It's a continuation of his storytelling, which is really great. You don't get that in current comics where you have a writer stick around for dozens of issues. Like Ben Percy did it with X-Force and Wolverine during the Krakoa era.
Would have loved it if Rainbow Rowell and She-Hulk had gone on long enough for that to be a thing.
Yeah, I
That
think
was
in
such a good series.
I haven't done the math. I think in total, how many did they get? Like 20,
20-ish?
20-ish? Yeah, which is disappointing that that was split between like two different titles. Steve Orlando, they're doing it with him and Scarlet Witch right now,
Oh, yeah,
which
because.
should just be one long story. Instead, they are constantly like, this is the next part of the saga. And the same with Steve Orlando in the 2099 stuff.
Hasn't it been like three number ones now? Like two within Scarlet Witch and now Scarlet Witch and the Vision?
And there was Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like
For like five
four,
issues.
yeah, so it's like four different restarts, quote unquote, which it's not.
Yeah.
It's just dumb.
Anything else about Fantastic Four? Silver Surfer was great in it. I liked her.
Shalabal.
Yes.
Shalabal.
Shala Ball. And Homo Superior, we listened to while we were making breakfast, which I thought was very good.
Yes.
Pointed out, like, if this was a TV series, like, that character had the gravity, Black
Yeah.
Hole, had the gravity to, like, hold down a whole episode if they wanted of, like, the heart-wrenching decisions before and how she became the Silver Surfer and what happened after.
Yeah.
So, like, that character was just great. Way
Yeah.
more invested in the Surfer than in the previous movies. Or movie, I guess it was number two of the 2000s Fantastic Four.
And we still haven't seen Thunderbolts,
Oh, no, we have not.
Which people have been saying is really good too. So
Okay.
it seems like they are trying to switch up how they're writing and crafting stories within the MCU, maybe, I hope, because it has been cookie cutter for almost 2 decades at this point.
Yeah.
It
And taking their
and
time seems to be working.
yes, I'm glad that they slowed down. I really wish that they would do more TV series, but they seem to have just stopped. Like Ironheart was in development for like 4 years, I feel.
Oh, yeah.
And they just put that out this year, and I've heard really good things about that. But
Bring back She-Hulk.
it, which people like it, I trending right now is the manosphere and
Ugh.
how men ruin things. Men, specifically men nerds, just ruin She-Hulk. Like they review bombed it into oblivion.
Which is such a shame
Yeah,
and
because
so dumb.
I thought it was really fun.
It was.
And that sort of storytelling, I because fanboys got all over it, they stopped doing it, which sucks because they're like, oh, the market's oversaturated. I think that's just them trying to avoid getting
Confronting the Manosphere.
exactly. So at least Fantastic Four had Sue Storm as the strongest member of the team.
Yeah, in all senses.
Yep. Yeah, emotionally, power-wise.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if there are any other fun moments. Herbie was fun, and
Yeah.
like the familiar nature of it, like how Johnny would always scratch Herbie's head,
Yeah.
and then Herbie would always make those little happy sounds.
Yes, I couldn't tell what the hell Herbie was saying. I'm sure if I watch it like 3 more times, I'm going to pick up on his language. It
Oh.
was more just emotes for me, like how he responded.
Yeah, like little beeps and boops.
Yep. So.
And the little suction sound when he like took his safety spot in the rocket.
Yes.
A little squelch.
Yep.
He is vacuum sealed in
Yes, he is.
there.
So, 2 good superhero movies this summer.
Yeah, and a little bit Star Trek-y,
Yes.
like Superman had more of the like we can come back from this, we can like embrace our humanity and the good parts of it and actually maybe listen to our better angels. And then Fantastic Four had some of that. If we had listened to our better angels and like humanity got its poop in a group, we could have had that sort of like futuristic, much brighter future, I would say.
Yeah.
Like especially for in terms of like international cooperation and things like that.
Yeah. So,
Light rail,
yeah.
high speed rail going through cities.
Yes, which was just quashed in Minnesota.
Oh, would love it. Like
Yep.
ever since a coworker brought up the idea of high speed trains between downtown St. Paul and downtown Minneapolis, I can't stop thinking about how cool that would be. Like we would take it all the time.
We would, because it's easier to park in St. Paul.
Seriously,
And
like
if it spit us out in downtown Minneapolis, perfect.
and if they did it faster, like
Yeah.
especially during rush hour or like what it is now with construction season.
Yeah, which this weekend we were like, well, we are staying at the house and we take back roads everywhere.
And even my plan to take back roads to supper yesterday, we went to our favorite restaurant, Red Rabbit, for those garlic bread cheese curds and well and other good food too.
Yes.
I was like, okay, we're gonna take the high bridge over, and if I know this street to get to the high bridge is closed, I'll take this other one.
Still ended up taking a wrong turn and having to like loop back around.
Which was fine
Yeah.
because if we had actually taken the correct turn, we would have run into the road construction closures anyway.
Yeah, like the road construction in the Twin Cities this weekend is obscene. Like there's no way to really get to Minneapolis from St. Paul this weekend unless you go way up. Like you are going to have to detour way to the north or way to the south.
Yeah, it was either 62 or 36, which is like the smaller highways to the north or
Yeah.
south of the cities. But even to get to those, like 35E south was closed through downtown, 52 north to get up to 36 was
Yeah.
closed. It's wild.
Yeah, it's.
But it's also one of those things where like everyone talks about how bad construction is or how bad the road is before, but they never talk about how nice it is after.
Yeah.
So I'm holding that as like the yes, it's rough right now and traffic sucks, but also the roads sort of need it, and that's sort of the cost of having an infrastructure that's based around individuals and cars. Like, probably would be better if it was rail or subway or metro or anything.
Yeah, and even the buses, like the express bus, like up near me, the express bus, they canceled it before I even had the house built.
Oh,
Like, there
yeah.
was one that you could take right from the gas station on the corner,
Oh, yeah.
and it would go all the way downtown. Or there was one that was at the movie theater.
Oh,
What?
perfect. Like, big parking lot.
Yep,
Just.
and they just canceled it
Which is such
because
a shame.
people want to keep in their cars. And I'm like, I don't ever want to drive. Like,
Especially down Central.
yeah, like, this is hell on earth. I hate having to commute in and commute back from work because drivers are terrible.
Yeah. I get.
So,
So, long story short, we had a great time with Fantastic Four, transportation issues aside in the Twin Cities.
And then,
And the buns have been wonderful.
yeah, next weekend is going to be prep for FlameCon, I guess.
Yeah.
I have to
And.
finish my slides slash start all my slides for the panel that you'll
Oh,
be
yeah.
on.
Maybe I'll make a stop at a thrift store to see if they have any more brown belts for my hunter
Oh,
look from Midnight Suns.
yes.
But Clyde is going in for a grooming appointment at the
Yeah,
vet.
who are 2 hours last weekend? Not
Like,
enough.
it did a lot, but he needs some professional upkeep.
Yes, and then we can work with the rabbit rescue and bring him in once a month.
Which I think I'm supposed to do more of anyway.
Yes.
I can at least be a bunny bouncer.
Yeah.
Oh, and we get to do Nick and Nora's nails today.
Well, but we're getting pretty good at nails.
Yeah, it's going a lot faster.
Yeah.
So.
Not as intimidating. We just have to take breaks for ourselves and them. Like one paw at a time, set them down on the table.
Give them some pets.
Yep. Tell them what good buns they are.
Yes, give them a treat.
All right, Star Trek Voyager. We have the last three, except for,
Telepathy
Telepathy War,
War.
which we'll get to by like September at this point.
Yeah.
How excited are you?
I want to fill in these gaps in our
I
coverage.
know. So, the last three issues of the ongoing today, 12, 14, and 15. So, if you remember, we had a cliffhanger.
We did.
So, they're stuck on this little world that creates little biomes.
It's sort of like that video game, like anime style thing. You just roll around a big thing and it just collects everything. This ship has been going around collecting other ships and tethering them and like putting aliens in these little habitats. Like there's
Yes.
some Jem'Hadar that weren't addicted to Ketracel White. There were some Vidians without the phage.
Yes. So the issue centers around them figuring how do we free out Voyager because it's covered with vines now?
Yes.
And how do we escape? And they find their set. We left some of the crew, Tom Paris without a shirt, numbering amongst them,
Yes.
in sort of the control center. And the ship sends its defense mechanisms to get them away.
And it's sort of like, you're not allowed to be here. It shocks Harry of like, stop fiddling with that panel. Don't look at the wizard
Yeah.
behind the curtain.
And they zoom them through some tubes, but Janeway takes readings on the tricorder on their
Which,
way.
good for her. Like,
Yeah.
you are zooming through these tubes, like, with this weird parachute thing attached to you, speeding you along. And at least she has the wherewithal to break out her tricorder.
Yes. And this is where they start developing a plan. They communicate with the other ship that they had been talking to.
The Elysians, the like
Yes.
weird bird people with the big hair,
Yeah.
all the jewelry.
It's very 80s hair.
Yes, like they would be a great rock band.
Yes. In 1987.
Yes.
So they send the crew out to just start phasering all these vines off of the ship.
And they're barely keeping up.
Yes. Cass is here with the doctor, and they're trying to do something?
Aren't they working on the scans of the control center?
Oh, yes.
Because they're like, it's sort of like a neural thing. We have this like neural disruptor toxin that we could deliver.
So they put it in a little torpedo.
Little probe,
Yep.
And they can send it back along the tubes that the captain had mapped with her tricorder when she was being evicted from the control center.
Yes, so they knock out the control center, and Voyager lifts off, and
they get their allies to do the same.
But did they destroy this place? Like, are the Vidians just going to die?
Well, there is... So after they knock out the central consciousness, then all these biomes start collapsing. Like, there was a food source for the Vidians that got flooded out. The Jem'Hadar, in their little desert environment, got a blizzard. So without the central consciousness organizing everything, everything starts falling apart. So then...
So they die.
They're almost there.
Sorry, Jem'Hadar.
So B'Elanna and Carrie get beamed into the control center. Since without the consciousness, there's no, like, protective force field, then they can beam. And so they reboot the computer, and then it's like, we don't like you.
We don't want humans.
You are way too much trouble. And the captain's like, yeah, I told you, humans abhor captivity.
Yeah.
So that's how they escape. They get their bird people friends to escape as well.
There's a little flashback to the motion picture.
Oh, yeah, that weird reference. So they think that this Leviathan ship is related to V'ger.
Right.
And this is they were Deckers, right? Lieutenant and the commander from the flashback that disappeared?
Yes.
This is another Decker.
Captain Decker.
Yeah. And after having merged with what's-her-face.
Oh, Ilia.
Yes.
The Ilia probe.
Pertussis Kombucha is my mnemonic for remembering the actress's name, because that keeps coming up in trivia.
And Chakotay's like, I hope they're not related. We lost two officers.
Yeah. And then the Leviathan is like, F this, and leaves.
Yep.
So at least they won't... That's a way to keep them from interfering with any continuity.
Yeah. In the letters page, we have the statement of ownership, and... So, the number of copies published nearest to the filing date, so probably a couple issues before this, 61,000.
Wasn't Alpha Flight like 21, or 20, 200?
200 and something.
200 and something.
Yeah.
1,000 issues.
The average number in the preceding 12 months was 106,000, and then it went down to 61,000.
This that seems like a precipitous drop.
Yeah, the sales are going down the toilet for Voyager at this point.
Oof.
Yeah, which is sad to see. Like,
you love Voyager.
Yeah. But also, Marvel did not... They're going through bankruptcy at this point, so...
Yeah.
They obviously didn't know what to do with this property. We've covered it before. We'll cover it again soon.
And we get... At least we got Laurie Sutton back, and now there's a Gwen Sutton as well.
Yep.
Mother-daughter team?
I don't know. I have 14, though. You have 15.
Yes. And that one also has both Suttons on it, I think.
Sure.
So I thought that was fun.
Yes. So, all right. A lot has happened in issue 13 / what we didn't cover because of Telepathy War.
Yes, a lot of references.
There's Kes is gone.
Yeah, so this is after Scorpion.
Yeah, this is 7 of 9 is coming aboard, literally. And they even have +7 of 9 on the cover because you need to advertise the sexy, sexy woman.
Yes.
Let's try to sell more than 61,000 copies.
I'm sure they saw the catsuit and were like, yes, we need to ham it up here as well.
It's the 90s, so boobs. They are basically trying to... They communicate with this ship. There's a ship.
There's a distress call, and it's sort of generic / basic. They're like, our ship doesn't work. Come help us.
Yes. Wah. And...
It's a hot guy.
It's a hot woman first.
Oh, that's right.
Because
she's Katira.
Yeah, so Janeway's like, what do you need help with? And the woman is like, oh, you're a commander that's a woman? 1 second, my brother actually needs to talk to you. And then it's a hot dude. And he's like, can you help
With a very suspiciously similar name.
Yes. And he's like, sure, I'll come on over, but my twin sister can't right now.
Womp womp.
And he's fucking naked. Covered with sparkles. That's it.
Yes. And we find out
is that this a cosplay you want to do?
I don't think so.
Just some sparkly fabric?
And like weird tatters.
Yes.
And it's covering a Speedo type thing.
So he flirts with all the women.
And they lose their minds.
Yeah.
Similar to how all the men lost their minds for Katira when she first appeared.
Yes.
Like Paris and Chakotay and Kim were all about her.
So they then find Seven of Nine injured.
She was attacked outside of Cargo Bay 2.
So they are like, that's weird. And right now, everyone's trying to find Captain Janeway. And the computer's like, she's in her quarters and she's not responding.
Oh, yeah, because Katerius, the male version, was like, I would like a private tour of your ship, oh, Captain. And she's like, yes, I will make it an especially private tour. And not tell anyone.
Yes.
And Chakotay's very jealous.
And she's getting some dick. Like, Janeway, get a girl, because you don't get it often in the series.
No, and the way that Chakotay is so annoying.
Yeah.
Like, that romance never made sense.
No.
Actually, any romance with Chakotay didn't make sense, because out of the blue, they made it a thing with him and Seven.
It's so weird. That's where it's currently at with the H&I channel.
Oh.
Is their romance at the end of season 7, and I'm like,
I and don't it just need. Appeared, and yeah. There was nothing leading up to it.
So then Katerius is making out with B'Elanna, because they go back to the ship. She's on the ship trying to figure out what's wrong with it.
Yeah, Janeway was like, well, I do the tour. B'Elanna, you go over and effect repairs. And B'Elanna is like, this is all super basic stuff. Like, do they even know how ships work? Because this shouldn't have been an issue in the first place.
And then he's, like, boning down B'Elanna, or wants to. He's using pheromones. We find out it's pheromones at play.
Plus a neuroenergy signature. Like, it's present in Seven's tissues. It's present in B'Elanna's migraine when she gets back to the ship. Like, they are just being messed with.
Yeah. And they call the captain into sick bay. She learns and she's like, oh.
There's nothing wrong with Katerius.
Yeah.
He and I are perfect.
There's a danger aboard a ship. I should tell him in person.
And everyone's like, no, that's a dumb idea.
Yeah.
But she's so addled by the pheromones and the energy manipulations that he's working on her.
So then she beams over to his ship, and they fuck again.
Yes. And Chakotay's like, this is a trap.
Yeah. This is not good.
There's an anomaly forming.
Yep.
Captain to the bridge, and it goes unanswered.
Yep.
Not cool, Jake.
And they send Tuvok over. They're like, stealth Tuvok.
It is stealth Tuvok. He has a different outfit.
Yeah.
It's black with yellow piping.
And
he's caught by Katira.
Yeah, and she kisses him, and he passes out.
Yeah, she's like, you cannot resist me.
Yeah.
It's such a weird choice, the Katira-Katerius thing. Like, obviously they're the same person.
Yeah. You're like, in Star Trek, you should figure this out.
From the get-go.
Yeah.
I could tell it was the same person.
The letters page, they say that Terry Pallett and L. Milgram are the art team, and they'll be around for a while.
Womp womp.
Yeah. The previous team moved on to Kitty Pryde, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I did not know she was an Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
It's like a 3-issue mini from the same era.
Is there anything Kitty hasn't done?
Right? Lots of Peters. She's done a lot of Peters.
It's true.
Yeah.
She just needs to meet a Petra.
And I didn't say it in issue 12, but they're like, welcome back to our second ever letters page.
Oh, it took a whole year to get 2 letter pages.
Yeah, they're like, mail is finally rolling in, and I'm like, again, you're lying. Like,
yeah.
It obviously some shit was happening, and I this is my continuing thread where I just needed to talk to people who were involved with the creation of all this, because even from the outside, it seems like the biggest dumpster fire ever.
Yeah. And like, I know that the art is complicated, but like the space things are always look so good. And the ship detail always looks so good. And I get that takes a lot of time.
Oh, and I forgot to mention there's like a mandala in the background of all this
That's the
shit.
anomaly,
Yeah,
yes.
it looks like an adult coloring book from 2012.
Oh. I feel like you used to do
I
those.
do. I still have tons of them in a drawer.
Oh.
Maybe I should start doing them again. Might help with the stress.
In the library that you need to unearth.
I know.
So we come back to Survival of the Fittest Part 2. We should say writers are the Suttons, Terry Pallett is he penciler, Al Milgrom is he inker, Chris Eliopoulos in virtual calligraphy, he letterers. Actually, the only she's on here are the Suttons, the she writers. Chip Carter is he-man, Bob Harris is he chief, Tim Tui is he editor, and Matt Webb is he colorist. So we got the L cars that continue to be hard to read.
I know.
The
If they didn't include as much text, this is where
and it was bigger, and like I know the Star Trek font is what it is,
yes.
but also
The
make it
editor
bigger.
at Tim Tui should have been like, yo, less words, less words.
Bigger font.
Yeah, like.
So Katira has made out with Tuvok and is gloating. Ha ha ha, so easy. Robot guards lift him up. And she's like, ooh, you are trying to resist my mental control. That'll be fun to break. Blah ha ha. And
It
not.
seems more sinister than it actually is once you reach the end of this issue. Like,
Because they're not that bright.
they're pretty and dumb.
I will say that the like shadow figures behind her of the robots holding up Tuvok looks a lot like Glob Herman.
Oh.
Like with the pink background and the two white blobs as eyeballs.
Yes.
So they are talk this all this capture stuff is to feed them. So then we learn that really Janeway and Tuvok and B'Elanna were just sustaining this entity
With their horniness.
with their horniness. So there's a separate bed for Tuvok, and he's all sweaty, trying to resist it. And Tuvok identifies the energy situations and how all the energy signals are the same across all. And so she starts to strangle him.
As you do.
As you do. We
You're
get.
too logical, bitch.
And I get in the TV, this would work interesting. Or maybe it works better in a comic, actually, having the image of her glowiness and gloating reflected in his eyeballs.
Yeah.
That's a whole panel. But then there's a big no, you can't. And that wakes up Janeway from her bed, and Katerius arrives. And there's the same sort of like glowy bit in front of her eyeballs. It's a choice. Back on the ship, the anomaly is there, the mandala emerging from wherever it came from. And it attacks Voyager with these energy tendrils, and it just siphons power off the ship. Like, they have a hard time sustaining anything. And that anomaly has the same energy signature as Seven's tissues, B'Elanna's tissues, the scans they did of the captain. It's all connected.
Yep, it's all coming together.
And we find out that the energy entity is like an ancestor, progenitor for. Katerian is what they call the entity that switches genders based on whichever homosexual or heterosexual is talking to it. Like, they don't even acknowledge the possibility of like existing outside the binary or same-sex attraction.
No, that's not here.
Not.
1998 is not having it.
No, it is not. So the ship is having all sorts of issues. Harry's able to fire phasers, which sort of like it's a little appetizer for the anomaly, but at least it leaves the ship alone for a moment. And then we get Barstin working with B'Elanna on the gel packs because that same energy signature is affecting the ship
No.
through there.
Bio. They're
Those
bio
gel
gel
packs.
packs. Yeah. I'm
So.
glad that they It's an interesting plot device in Voyager.
That they have this to like, because the episode we were watching last night with the temporal fields and Voyager existing in the different timelines, and it was the bioneural circuitry that they used to unify the whole ship and
Yeah.
get back together into one time frame.
I'm glad we haven't seen it since Voyager, though.
The gel
Like,
packs?
yeah. Like, they seem complicated, like it's an Intrepid class innovation.
Oh yeah, I don't think it's present on the Titan from Picard
No.
or any of those new
Or the
classes of
Cerritos.
ships. No, I do love in Lower Decks though when they make the reference to the Neelix cheese
Yes.
that messes up the gel packs. They're like, oh, the ship is going haywire. How do we stop it? The answer is cheese.
Yes.
So they figure out what's happening. They figure out the transponder signal between the Caterian ship, or I should say, Orsonian, Orsorian.
Sure.
And then
We're
they.
never going to see them again. Literally, we're never
No.
going to see them
It's
again.
the entity, like the gender switching entity, that's Caterian.
Yeah.
So they come up with this serum. So they go over, get Tuvok, get the captain. They send the doctor because he's a hologram and can't be affected by the pheromone
True.
sexiness. And he straight up murders them.
Yes.
He injects them with something like an antigen from Seven because she didn't, they made a point when she appeared of like, oh, she doesn't have a normal immune system. Like it's all
Yeah.
learning right now. And
And that's
so,
why they took her out so fast. They're like, she can blow our cover.
yeah. But now that she's recovered, she's immune to it. The doctor's immune to it. These bimbos don't know what they're doing. And the doctor injects them with something that, like, body horror merges them. Like,
Yeah, their teeth and eyes.
it's all teeth and eyes and goop. It's so
It
gross.
really is.
So,
And they're like, this is fine, we won.
they really are. They get their crew back. They. Because they're now showing that transponder signal, the Mandala energy siphoner is attacking the ship that was in distress before. Basically, like, killing the two of them more than they already were.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
A little bit of recovery. Janeway's unkempt hair gets put back together
She's
now
no,
that she's no longer tussling with anyone.
she's not fucking anymore.
She is back in control of her faculties,
Yes.
which is this interesting way of showing it.
Yeah. Sure.
And there's a letters page.
Yeah, except.
We have some good news and bad news. Voyager is coming to an end. The good news is Voyager will be back in January 98. We're going to continue telling stories of our crew, but it'll be in limited series format. Did that limited series format ever happen?
Yes, we're reading it next Voyager episode.
What?
Yeah, we're
Oh.
reading Splashdown.
Oh, that's right. I thought this was like the
No.
end of it all.
No, but they also say, like, Deep Space Nine is also coming to an end, but it's also going to follow this new format, and they never did it for DS9. And
Yeah.
they're like, oh, but we still have early voyages
And Starfleet
and
Academy.
Starfleet Academy that are ongoing now, and Unlimited is coming out bi-monthly because they couldn't get that shit in on time.
Oof.
So.
I mean, a lot of detail, a lot of colors. Like, there's a lot of cool art things that are going on in these series.
Yes.
But I feel like to sustain that, you need to like build the team to have that capacity.
Yeah, it's just a whole bunch of missed opportunities consistently throughout Star Trek, Marvel stuff in the 90s.
So how do you feel about this particular plot line being the one at the end?
So weak. It's there. I like that they go outside of the typical Delta Quadrant stuff throughout the series, but there are still the touch points where it's like the Vidians, okay, we get that. And
They do a better job with the scarcity problem that
yes.
Voyager has than the TV show ever did.
Yes. So I'm glad that they're doing things that they can't do on a TV show. Like, this would be really hard to
Yeah,
do.
the glowy bits over the private
Yeah.
parts.
Yes. So I just thought, oh, it's a mind control pheromone thing. That's a pretty big comic book trope.
Yeah.
And
The relentless horniness. of the crew.
I thought it could have been better, but again, obviously the previous issue they're like, "Hey, this is our team. They're around for a while." The very next issue they're like, "The series is done." So they were changing things from issue to issue. They didn't know what the fuck was going on. And it'd be interesting to chat with someone like Laurie Sutton to be like, was Splashdown the next arc you were going to do? Because it's four issues.
Which makes sense for an arc.
Was that your plan? Or did they ask you specifically for a mini series plan? Did you have other ideas of where you wanted to go with Voyager? Did you have other issues already plotted?
Because we like her writing
Yes.
as a whole.
Yep. And I feel this is like a cool down. You had a high stakes thing the previous arc where they're trapped and they need to get away from this terrible entity that wants to give them a biosphere.
Like, oh, we'll just put you in our zoo.
Yes. And this, I feel, is the counterbalance to that, where you have a fun little ship adventure and they're horny. What was the bounce back? Was there something planned for the next couple issues?
Like, this had bottle episode feel, which is
Yes.
not great to end on.
No. So again, it's really unfortunate, and I felt the same way when we recorded that DS9 wrap-up episode months ago.
Like, it makes more sense as like a launch point for the next big thing rather than
Yeah, we're
leaving it
again,
be.
they're all of a sudden they're like, "Oh, we're done." And even in the letters page, I don't know if they addressed it here. They might have, where they're always like, "If you have a subscription, you get Iron Man."
Oh yeah.
It's always the answer.
Iron Man is not really always the answer,
No, he's never. He's
even
never.
though Marvel wants him to be.
They also make it clear that, oh, a Splashdown, since it's a mini series, if you have a subscription to Voyager, you don't get that. It's not part of the subscription.
Oh, ouch.
Right? Fuck them. I don't know. The more and more I read of Marvel Star Trek, the more perplexed I am by just how roughshod the entire business is surrounding it.
And you don't get that impression from the DC Star Treks that you've read?
No, that first volume was also a hot mess.
Oh.
Because they're like, "Oh, our next writer for the next six issues is blank." And then they'll bring in that writer for one issue, and then in the letters page, they're like, they had to go do something else.
Oh.
They were tapped to do another DC title. And even editorial, I'm in volume two, where the longtime editor, Bob Greenberger, was like, "And I'm stepping off, and this person is taking over. And then we'll be doing the letters pages together for the next set of issues."
Oh.
By the end of that set of issues, they're like, "Oh yeah, she left. She's editing something else." So they're bringing in this other new editor.
Oh no.
It's messy behind the scenes. I think we're seeing it more with Marvel, though. The storytelling was pretty consistent with DC Star Trek. You get different writers, but it's the same cast of characters because they're just focusing at that time on one title, then they expand out to Next Generation when Volume 2 of
Oh.
TOS begins. You only have two titles in the mix, and then you'll have a special graphic novel. Chris Claremont wrote a graphic novel that they released that's not connected to anything.
Oh.
So here they are trying to do so many different series across the board where it's, all right, we have Starfleet Academy and DS9 and Unlimited and Voyager and Untold Voyages or whatever.
Yeah.
And then we also have the special five-issue series where we're delving into TOS movie continuity connected stuff. And they got the license. This is what I think. They got the license. We're really excited. They're also going through bankruptcy, or about to, when they get it. So they're like, "Shit, this, we know Star Trek has a fan base.
Right, it should be able to sell
We
issues.
can buoy our finances through these nerds." And then they mismanaged it. It
Yeah.
seems horribly mismanaged, which is maybe why we start getting the credits for Chip Carter partway through some of these series that started at the beginning.
Oh,
Did Paramount see it was in trouble and they're like, okay, we're dedicating someone. And DC had that. It was never in the credits pages, but there was always a liaison. So Chip probably did it the entire time, but maybe he needed more active involvement when things started going sideways.
We at least we're coming out of these series, and like we've enjoyed the issues.
Yeah.
I shouldn't make it sound like we haven't, because we have.
And it even says Paramount Pictures presents Star Trek Voyager. It's not Marvel Comics presents.
Oh.
It is Marvel presents Paramount Comics on the cover. So.
Oh, yeah, that is different. So the, and like we're coming away with this with like people that we'd love to talk to.
Yeah.
Chris Cooper, Laurie Sutton, yeah. Chip Carter. Like, I'm just so curious about how he took on that role of, like, harnessing all that creative energy into, like, here's what it actually means in Star Trek language.
And what involvement, like, did you veto things as Paramount? Because when Gene Roddenberry was alive, he fucked up the comics.
Oh, really?
Like, they would start writing something that was really interesting. And, for example, there was... It wasn't a Starfleet person, it was a Federation person. I forget her name and her title. She's basically like an ethics officer to make sure that Kirk didn't do any more ethical violations. And of course, she became a love interest.
Of course.
Then she disappears. And a few issues later, someone wrote in, they're like, I really like this character. And the editor is like, yeah, Gene Roddenberry told us to get rid of her. Because Kirk could not have a love interest at this time. He does not want Kirk to have a love interest in the comic books.
What? That's like half of Kirk's deal.
So, like, that was not the only thing. When they started Volume 2, all the really fun additional crew members that they had in Volume 1, he's like, no, get rid of them.
Oh.
You can't use any of them. You cannot use anyone from the animated series. Sorry.
But Marass.
Yeah.
I love Marass.
Marass was present near the end of Volume 1 of DC Star Trek.
And I feel like you sent me a picture of Eric's in there, too.
Yes. And Roddenberry came along and he was like, nope, sorry, you have to focus on just the main characters. That's it. So the fingers in the pie were Roddenberry at this time, because Roddenberry was dead by the time Marvel got the license. Oh. But I'm wondering what was off the table. Like, nope, you can't write about these certain things.
These species, these characters. Yeah. Because part of what's neat about specifically the Voyager comics, is that you get Barston, you get Decker, you get Carrie. Rand. Well, I guess two of those three that you see more often in the show.
You get Rand.
Oh, yeah. So you get some of these side characters that are... Like, Voyager doesn't do a great job of maintaining effects from one episode into the next, but having those characters around is super handy to be like,
yeah,
there actually is a crew of 203 people.
Yep.
Or 153?
I don't know.
I get the stats mixed up. 203 was in an episode that we just saw.
Yes.
So, having those sort of anchors... Because I feel like the best Star Trek is when you have a wide cast.
Yes.
And you're invested in all these characters.
And they got rid of Rand real quick.
Oh.
And who knows why? I mean, was it the writer? Was that the other writer that wasn't Laurie Sutton? Or...
I think so.
It missed, like, by a little bit off the mark. With how it was landing.
Yeah.
Especially the end of the series. Like, they really obviously went through some shit. And yeah.
Which is a shame, because, like, good threads through all of them. Great art through all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, still had all these positive aspects to it. It just...
Yeah.
Fizzled due to outside factors.
Yeah. And it's how I felt at the end of each of these series, I think.
No.
Where it's like... They could have done so much more.
So that makes sense for at this point where it's like the fourth time it's happened.
Yeah. And Voyager doesn't get another comic series, really.
After Splashdown?
Malibu, I think, takes over. Or no, Wildstorm, I think, takes over the license for a little while after this.
Oh.
And I found in the bargain bin at our local comic store like 2 years ago a couple graphic novels that were Voyager based.
Oh.
But I think coming up, we get the, it, like literally coming up in September, is the Voyager miniseries.
The new one, yeah, with
Yeah.
IDW.
Yep. And that may be the most recent really focused on Voyager storytelling effort since
Since
then.
these and then
I think
before
so.
2000.
I would have to do some research, but I love Voyager, and I haven't heard nor seen. We've done so many dives in dollar bins and
Four
things like that.
Trek comics, yeah.
For Trek comics, and even tangentially, we would have noticed if it was like, oh, Star Trek Voyager
Right.
by IDW, that's weird.
And it's not like when I found the gold foil cover for Malibu
Yeah.
DS9 that I got you signed by Gordon Purcell.
Yeah, it's not anything like that. It's just they really stopped. And I mean, we got this for Voyager. Enterprise got jack shit. Because by that time, the comics industry was just in
Rough.
ruins
Yeah.
in the early 2000s. Like,
And let's be honest, Enterprise is the George W. of Star Trek.
yeah, it's. I don't like it. It comes on at 11 o'clock at night, and that is my cue to, like, turn off the TV and go to sleep if I'm reading in bed.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to see, like, this is, we're going to have the last Voyager comics in our next Star Trek issue.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll do a little recap of the new stuff because we're liking red shirts.
Yeah. Red shirts, a lot of fun.
IDW main Star Trek run was really good.
Yeah,
Love that.
you didn't like Defiant.
No, but I also didn't like things like X-Force, and it had that
No.
a little bit of that same flavor of
Like a
like
strike team.
strike team stuff.
Yeah. But they, to their credit, that team put together a universe in the past couple years. Like, it
Yeah.
was a shared universe. It all made sense. It talked with one another.
And you were invested in Namira as like, who is this weird Orion woman? You were interested or invested in Lily Sato of like, yeah, like legacy character, am I using that term correctly?
Yeah.
Of like fan service for the Enterprise fans, because each sort of series had its own fan service
Yeah.
character. But she was super interesting and like an Andorian linguist, like descended from this line.
Yeah.
You got fun cultural facts, like Andorians take the name of the most famous
Oh.
ancestor. So that's why she is Lily Sato.
Oh. But yeah, things like that. They did a really good job. I sent you the article, and I think you'd already read it, about the reveals from San Diego Comic-Con of what they're doing next, and it's like we already knew.
Oh.
Like, as all the announcements, and they showed a couple covers, maybe, or something.
Yeah, the Welcome Home or the Voyage Home, like the special Voyager one was in there.
Yep, mentioning more details about it, the burn.
Oh, yeah, for the
Which
new Star
year?
Trek Academy. Oh, no, not separate from the new Star Trek
Yeah.
Academy, but like a future thing.
Yes, with James T. Kirk back, like, centuries after he died.
Yeah, how do you deal with the legacy of the Federation when the Federation is falling apart
Yeah.
post-burn?
And things like that, where they're taking their time, I feel, to reset. Because for so many years, IDW was just pumping out original series, but Kelvin timeline.
Yeah.
That was their focus. And we never read that because.
And I mean, it makes sense. Like, that's
Yeah.
where the cultural moment was.
And that's probably what Paramount was saying. Like, this is your purview.
Yeah.
You can explore this sandbox.
It's this little one.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see how they set up stuff after all these miniseries, because it seems like they rolled out Red Shirts. That's now going on. Lower Decks is an ongoing, which is so cool. I think that's the biggest news I took away from San Diego, is
Oh, that's
there.
right. They moved it to an ongoing.
Yep, it's not like a limited series, it's ongoing, and.
Which is great because, I mean, even though Ryan North is not writing it anymore, it still has that same feel
Yeah.
of like, yeah, that character does talk like that.
Who's writing it now?
Oh, I can't remember.
Oh, it's right there in my brain. And I know.
It's not Chris Cantwell. It's.
No, Chris Cantwell is Defiant.
Please pause while we look this up.
Yeah, I'm going to.
But it's a great Tendi arc that's happening right now. It was a great Captain Freeman arc before, too, which was fun.
And I have to catch up on all of that stuff.
Good thing I organized my comics recently.
And I have the issues. They're just waiting. It's in that stack.
Oh, and the Star Trek and Defiant ones too? Or did I get those back from you?
I think you gave them, I gave them back to you, then you gave them back to me to read.
Oh.
And I'm like, okay,
You
well,
know, in all your free time.
yes. I, oh wow, this is failing me. I do like the little asides that they have at the bottom of the pages in Lower Decks, though.
I think those were only a Ryan North thing, though.
Really?
Yeah, I
Oh,
would
they're
know.
gone now?
Yeah.
Oh.
I would bring one out, but I think I brought it upstairs already after Nora read it. And by read
Oh.
it, I mean she ate it.
She eats so much. Tim Sheridan.
Oh, yes.
Tim
That.
Sheridan, who we love.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do because they sort of had this buffet of characters, like you said, touch points for so many different series with the most recent ongoing.
Yeah.
What do they do now? Where do they go? And don't do the Marvel thing where you're going to have like a Voyager ongoing and a DS9 ongoing and a TNG. Like, that we,
Like pick one and stick with it
yeah,
and give it the appropriate resources to
our
flourish.
local comic store didn't even get their shipment in of the latest Lower Decks. I had to go to a different comic store because I asked, I'm like, hey, that was supposed to come out last week. And they're like, you're right, it was. We ordered six, and us two are two. Who are
Yeah.
pulling it out of that six? Like, I don't know if the sales are doing that well.
But
If,
save Lower Decks, people. It's worth it.
yeah, it's real sad just getting that inside info where it's like, oh, this really big store that we go to that has a lot of fans come into it, especially Wednesday,
Oh.
because some of those bros, and I use that term derogatorily, some of those bros stick around for hours. Like, they're there when you go at lunch, and then I will go after work, and they're still there chatting comics.
Yeah. And
Making.
social commentary, which,
Yeah.
again, Manosphere, we do not need that.
No. Anyway, yeah, maybe we'll chat red shirts. Maybe we'll have a guest on. I have a guest in mind to
Oh.
chat about it. So maybe we'll reach out to that person and see if they want to come on.
Okay.
But anyway, next week we'll be back with 4950 and annual number 2 for Alpha Flight.
Oh, far out.
Yes, so you have your reading assignment for the week.
Yeah.
And we will catch you next time. Thank you for tuning in.
Be well.
Bye.